Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? I'm your host, NH Labduni. Just give me a second here. I'm actually going to try to make this as short as possible, considering I have some unforeseen circumstances, variables that have arisen that are causing me some discomfort right now, not physically, but you know, things don't go according to plan, you start to get bothered. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was an article in the Washington Post by Ivy League professor Mary Beth Gassman, and she was talking about the excuses that colleges give to keep from hiring more black people. And I wanted to go into these excuses and rebut them, because she did say at a conference, that the reason college faculties aren't more racially diverse, the reason why colleges don't hire more faculty of color, plain and simple, we don't want them. Now, just a little background. Mary Beth Gassman is a professor of higher education in the Graduate School of Education at the University of Pennsylvania, where she directs the Penn Center for Minority Serving Institutions and holds secondary appointments in history, Africana studies, and the School of Social Policy and Practice. So, anyway, excuses from a lack of quality educators to not enough candidates in the pipeline is currently being used by these secondary schools, these schools of higher learning, to keep numbers of black faculty down across the country. Now, there's an apparent hesitation when it comes to bending rules and finding workarounds for hiring black faculty when necessary, all in the meanwhile making those same exceptions the norm, though, when it comes to hiring whites. People doubting the need for a diverse faculty also lends its hand to this very same problem, and we want to go ahead and talk about all of these things. As I mentioned before, Mary Beth Gassman is an Ivy League professor, and she actually has spent time going over this. And what I wanted to do is break down the arguments and rebut a few of the things that were brought up. First thing first, she brought up quality. Now, anybody want to know, quality is a pretty objective term. Anybody can just have their own definition of what quality is, what quality really means. But in the sake of this argument, what they're talking about quality here is, you know, she said that quality was used to dismiss people of color who are otherwise qualified competitively for those faculty positions. So if it comes to quality, it's not this saying that they're qualified, but they may be qualified, but a certain level of quality that is not there that they are looking for. So what is this quality that they're looking for? Is a social status, a social norm, a social relevance that they're looking for when it comes to this term of quality. Now, even those people on search committees that appear to be dedicated to access and equity will point to quality or a lack of quality as a reason for not hiring a person of color, a black person. The black person may be very well qualified, may hit all the marks, may be at the top of their class, but if their social status or where they come from, their background, if they did not have those people around them that are deemed of high quality, that is looked down upon them, and they will not, 9 times out of 10, they will not get the position, they will not be hired by that secondary school. Now, typically, quality means that the person didn't go to an elite institution for their PhD or wasn't mentored by a prominent person in the field. What people forget is that attending the elite institutions and being mentored by prominent people is linked to social capital, and systemic racism ensures that people of color have less of it. So with less access, less ability, less networking ability to get around these people of high quality, people that are more than qualified for the positions end up being shorted out because of they deem to not have the quality necessary for those positions, when in fact they may be more qualified than their white counterpart that may also be applying for that same faculty position. Another thing that they wanted to bring up, they used the excuse of that there's not enough people, there's not enough black people in the faculty pipeline. So this one here really stuck out, which is why I really wanted to do this video, because of this main excuse right here. When they talk about the faculty pipeline, they're saying that there's not enough black people to bring in to make their faculties more diverse. And here's the thing about that. It's kind of crazy, actually. If, in fact, there's not enough black people to fulfill these positions, then the ones that are there, should you not be scooping them up if they're qualified? Should you not already be doing that? But anyway, what Gaffin said is it is accurate that there are fewer people of color in some disciplines, such as engineering or physics. However, there are great numbers of PhDs of black people in humanities and education, and we don't have diversity in those areas as well. So if they're saying there's a lack of quality, I mean a lack of people, a lack of individuals in those fields, how come the ones that are there, they're not being hired? How come they're not being brought into these secondary institutions? How come people that are graduating are not being steered or geared towards those avenues to be able to be brought into those institutions? And they say there's not enough people in the pipeline. Well, how about creating a pipeline for those people? How about creating a niche, a market, whatever you want to call it, for them, us, whichever you want to call it. Now, some faculty members are resistant to hiring their own graduates. So you can go to, let's say, FSU, or you can go to UF, or you can go to Penn State, you can go to Syracuse University, you can go to any one of these colleges. And a lot of them have hesitations when it comes to hiring their very own graduates. Now, that's crazy. Why would you fear hiring your own graduates? Do you not believe in the education that you provided them? Do you not believe in what you instilled in those very students that came through your halls to not be able to provide the same kind of quality learning that they've received from you? Why is there a hesitation in that? Why not team up with other institutions then that are deemed high quality to bring in more PhDs of color from these institutions? Where is the disconnect there? That's something to think about. Now, definitely, there's a lot of fields that have a very small amount of black people involved in them. Now, if you're in a field with few people of color in the pipeline, why are we working so hard to weed them out of the undergraduate and PhD programs? If, for example, let's say let's say bioengineering. Let's say in the bioengineering field, there's a very small amount of black people in it. Why are we focusing on weeding out those few that are in to keep it part of the boys club, so to speak, instead of trying to encourage more black people to get involved, to coach more black people to get into that field, to steer more black people into that field so they can be successful, so that field can be more diverse? Why not? Why not encourage, mentor, and support more people of color in the field? That's something to consider, and I just feel that, you know, all of these are just excuses that they're using just to keep their numbers low. They're only looking to fit the quota. They're not trying to do more than the quota, more than what is being asked of them as school, as places of education, an institution of higher learning. So whatever the federal system says needs to be the percentage of blacks, whites, minorities, whatever, they just feel just the bare minimum, and then after that they get their funding and they're good to go. They don't want to bring in more than that. Unless, of course, you have connections in high places and your social status comes from a lineage of people that are so sublime and walk with their noses up high and so on and so forth. But anyway, another excuse that they use is what I like to call racial favoritism. I call it racial favoritism for the mere fact that Mary Beth Gassman said it herself in her article at the Washington Post. In her article at the Washington Post, she said that when it comes to bending the rules, finding workarounds, and so on and so forth, there are more colleges are more prone to do that for whites than for blacks. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Just give me one second. So here, she said, faculty will bend rules, knock down walls, and build bridges to hire those that they really want, often white colleagues, but when it comes to hiring faculty of color, they have to play by the rules, and they get angry when any exceptions are made. So when rules are bent to bring in a person of color, people get mad, cry reverse racism, anti-affirmative action, all these other nonsense, but when it comes to bending the rules, breaking the rules, so on and so forth, to bring in one of their own, everything is all good and everyone's quiet. There's no fuss, there's no protest, there's no strike, nothing. But she pointed out that even though bending the rules and such is considered the exception to the rule, in fact, those colleges, those schools of higher learning, bend the rules and make the exception for their white counterparts so much, making the exception is actually the norm. Exceptions are the rule in academia. Now, she also brought out that the poor search communities, I don't really want to go into that, but I do want to go into another reason for why we have colleges that don't want to hire more black faculty than what is required of them by whatever government regulation that they decide to adhere to or go by. And this is actually a big one. Public apathy. What do I mean by public apathy? Here's what I mean by public apathy. If you're wondering why a diverse faculty is important, or if you're wondering why we don't have a more diverse faculty, your wondering is yet another reason why we don't have a more diverse faculty. Having a diverse faculty in terms of race, ethnicity, gender, religion, adds greatly to the experiences of students in the classroom. Basically, you have students coming from all walks of life, coming from all corners of the globe. They're coming through the walls here at any of your schools of higher learning, and if all they come across is, let's just go ahead and call it for what it is, white supremacy, white superiority, and nothing that actually relates to them, and everything is whitewashed, then everything will be jaded. Everything they learn will be biased. Everything that they ingest will be enriched. such as your white rice, your white sugar, and so on. It'll be enriched. And honestly, the thing about enriched, I don't know if anybody have noticed, but things that are considered enriched actually have very, very, very little nutrients in them whatsoever. Next time you're at a supermarket, go look at a bag of enriched rice. Go look at some enriched flour or sugar and read the label. It has very, very, very little nutrients. And compare it to its non-enriched counterpart, and you'll see the difference. So anyway, I didn't want to take too long because I actually have my little kid I'm watching tonight, and he's feeling sick, little Malachi, King Malachi. He's feeling sick right now, so I didn't want to take too long. I just want to go ahead and jump on this real quick and keep practicing with making these videos, doing these live videos, because it's something I'm trying to do more of as I get involved more with different things that I'm doing. But anyway, back with the public apathy real quickly. I just wanted to say that, let's see here. When I was talking about how everything will be whitewashed, when you have a more diverse faculty, a more mixed faculty, it challenges the educational system to move away from a white-centered approach to one that is inclusive of many different voices and perspectives. Because at the end of the day, there's a lot going on outside of the white peripheral vision. The white scope of vision is just one side. There's a lot more going on. Perfect example would be, let's just take, for example, America here. America in sports we call football and soccer. Around the globe, soccer is called football. And it truly is the real football. All you do is use your foot with that ball. As opposed to our football here, we use your hands, you're throwing, you're passing, catching, running, so on and so forth. That's just one example of the approach here being different from the approach around the world. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up, call it a night. If y'all have anything you want to add, feel free to add. You want to comment, feel free to comment. I should have said this at the beginning, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Please like, share, subscribe to the channel. Like the Facebook page, facebook.com/lyricalelitist. Visit the website, lyricalelitist.com. Share, like, dislike, don't matter. But just go ahead and interact with the videos that I'm trying to do. If you have constructive criticism, go ahead and drop it in the comment box. You want to be a troll? Whatever. The internet's full of trolls now. Find you a bridge to go hide under. I don't care. Your host, NH Live Dooney, signing out.